We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
West Virginia coach John Hammond met with media today via Zoom video conferencing. Hear what he had to say about his program coming up right after this.
West Virginia fans, stay up to date on all things Mountaineers at WVUSports.com. WVUSports.com has 24/7 access to all of your favorite Mountaineer teams. The site's modern design provides the same fan-friendly experience on a mobile phone as it does on a desktop computer. Watch videos, listen to podcasts, and read feature stories anytime, anyplace. WVUSports.com, the official home of the West Virginia Mountaineers.
John, thanks for joining us on the call today. We've been doing these media calls with our varsity head coaches over the last few weeks. And why don't you start the call before we take questions about giving a recap of your season. And I think you were in a unique position where you were getting ready to start your or finish your season with the NCAA championships. And can you talk about how all that went down?
Sure. Yeah, we had a pretty successful season. You know, it was much like many others, pretty competitive, and we had a really strong competitive team this year. I think we did have some tougher opposition than we've had in the past. Both Kentucky and TCU were exceptional teams this year. I think in our head-to-heads, we tied with TCU at home, and Kentucky got the better of us both in the head-to-head and conference. When it came to NCAAs, yeah, it was kind of a crazy situation this year. I guess, first of all, for myself, I actually had the flu that week. So the week leading up to NCAAs, I was pretty much in bed sick. And the Tuesday that week, I went to the doctors and had flu, you know, got swabbed for flu A. All three of my kids at home had it as well. So it was pretty much not a fun week for my wife, that's for sure. So the team left on Wednesday without me. Thursday, they had practice day. So the championships were down in Lexington, Kentucky. They completed the full practice day. They actually left the range that day being told everything was good to go for the next day. Everything's fine. Championships had been reduced to no spectators or just a pass list. So basically, each team just had to put in their family and friends on a pass list, so there was already limited spectators there. And then Thursday late afternoon at some point, I was still literally in my bed at home, started getting a few texts and saw a Twitter thing that NCAA had canceled all championships. You know, got in touch with Sarin, our assistant coach, and they were like, no, we just left the range, everything's good. And then we kind of had to go back and forth quite a few times with the officials down there. And finally, we did get the word that, you know, they canceled the championship. So, you know, obviously super disappointing for all the athletes that were there. You know, a lot of them were, you know, probably arguing initially like, no, we just got told championships were on, we had practice day. And so crazy timing for us for it to be canceled. I'm sure a lot of us felt that we, you know, the championships could have survived, you know, an extra, we probably could have completed in a day, the following day, everyone was already there. You know, but obviously the situation is a global situation, and people within the NCAA made that decision to just, you know, blanket cancel of everything. And we were just kind of the unfortunate, you know, timing of our situation. So the team basically stayed that night, packed up and drove back to Morgantown. And that was the beginning of spring break. And I actually haven't seen, you know, the majority of the team members since before they left for NCAAs. They got back and headed home for spring break. And that's been at since then.
All right. Thanks, Coach. First question. Actually, we'll go ahead and give it to Coach Hunter. Coach Hunter, go ahead.
So, John, you sort of talked about it. I mean, you feel if you were there, you would have argued to complete the championship. And, you know, you have some social distancing in your sport. You could have done it in a day. What would your thoughts, if you'd have been there, what would your discussions have been?
Well, I mean, I don't think I would have made any difference if the seven other head coaches that were there, you know, didn't do anything. I think the, you know, Kentucky were hosting it. I've spoken to Harry, their coach, and, you know, he was probably, you know, more disappointed than anyone. You know, the work that they put in to host the championship. We know from last year and experience how much that is. They were also the number one, you know, ranked team. And, you know, so if Harry wasn't able to persuade them, there's probably not much I'd have been able to do. So I don't think there's anything I could have said or done. I'm sure, you know, you have to trust the NCAA Rifle Committee, the officials that were there. You know, I'm sure they had all those conversations, and I would like to think that they went through every, you know, possible scenario to see what could work. You know, but I think probably for them, once the decision is made higher up within the NCAA, you know, that's often the decisions are made. So would I have said something? I'm sure I would have, you know, asked a few questions, but I can't imagine that. I mean, like I said, if the other seven coaches were there, didn't ask those questions, I'm sure they did. And I'm sure the committee talked at lengths of everything that they could possibly do. So I don't think myself could have made any difference to that.
All right, go ahead, John Antonik.
Just to be clear, it was the flu. Did you get tested for the COVID-19?
I mean, I didn't. So they did give me a swab and came back 10 minutes later and told me I had flu A. So, man, who knows? You know, it could have been some of that. All I know is I felt really bad for a week. And even the second week, you know, by that stage, it was spring break. You know, I still felt pretty weak and under the weather. And our boys at home seemed to hit them for just a, you know, a day or two, and they were fine. They're pretty young, so kind of bounced back from it. But I mean, you know, that was back in March, and obviously they weren't testing for anything else back then. So, you know, who knows?
Go ahead, Kevin Kinder.
Your four international students, John, were they able to get back home with any, you know, difficulties for them traveling? What's their status right now?
Yeah, they were all different. So we had four. David was actually planning on going back for spring break and an extra week anyway for some trial matches back in Germany. So he got right home. He maybe changed his flight to go a day earlier, but he got home immediately. He's still back in Germany with no plans to come back immediately anyway. The others stayed initially, you know, and probably were just waiting to see how it would ride out. I mean, you know, there's costs involved with going internationally and stuff. And I think after a couple weeks, Verena went back to Austria. I think she kind of got the, I think Austria were starting to close borders and she realized she better get home. And then also Akihito got back to Japan as well. So they both were here for spring break and maybe another week, and then kind of decided it was better to get back home. And then Milica's from Serbia, and she's actually came back and stayed in Morgantown. You know, she actually had a few worries of not being able to get back in August. She's going to be starting grad school at WVU. You know, from what she told me, the situation in Serbia, you know, probably, you know, isn't the best. And she was more concerned about getting back and getting through everything. So she stayed in Morgantown, but the other three all managed to get home.
All right. Your next question from Greg Hunter. Go ahead, Greg.
So, John, how has this affected your sport as a whole? I'm sure a lot of, international meets are canceled. Obviously, the Olympics, which were going to be, the big event. Just internationally, how has this affected the sport?
Yeah, massively. I think we're probably in line or similar to many other Olympic sports. I'll maybe talk nationally in the U.S. and internationally. But internationally, I think it was – kind of a bit drip fed. Obviously by the time we are now, everything's off for the summer. The Olympics obviously, dictates a lot of that too, but with the Olympics being canceled, we have a World Cup circuit. All those World Cups got canceled. I think there was a test event in Tokyo, Munich and Azerbaijan, or maybe others, Junior World Cup in Germany, European Championships. I'm pretty sure everything's pretty much canceled from there. And then in the US, one of the biggest, or probably the biggest junior match, both for the competitors and then for college coaches to go and recruit, are the Junior Olympics run by USA Shooting in Colorado at the training center. So they would have happened right around probably over last couple of weeks. So they got canceled and initially said, postponed till the summer. But I think that's probably going to just disappear. U.S. nationals disappeared, and then also the second part of the Olympic trials for small bore. So the air rifle trials for the U.S. trials had been completed, but the small bore trials, they'd had part one earlier, actually last year, and then part two was meant to be in May, and that's been postponed as well. So now that the Olympics have been postponed a whole year, that probably relieved that situation, and they'll run the second part of the small bore Olympic trials at some point. Who knows when, whether it's later this year or put it into next year altogether now, I'm not sure. But yeah, pretty much the calendar's just been scrapped for the most part. So, I think it's probably, well, obviously health reasons, it's the best thing to do. But I think also for the athletes, they can just take a reset. They're not worried about, well, I need to get training at this point. I want to be doing this. International level, it's really just everything's on pause and taking a breather, and same as many other Olympic sports, and probably, who knows, I'm sure at the top level they're making plans for next year and how they'll do things. There's still Olympic qualification that hasn't been decided due to world ranking points, and I think a couple of quarter places in Europe to be decided. And I think that'll obviously all shake out in the next 6 months or getting into next year as well. But yeah, pretty huge changes and probably similar to many other sports.
All right, John Antonik.
Curious how you thought your team would have fared at the NCAAs. I noticed your best score was 4.719 against Akron back in November. And I guess Kentucky shot a 4.723. Do you think you guys would have been able to maybe top that, or?
It's a tough question. I think this was an interesting year. I think we had a good team this year. Obviously, those numbers are pretty consistent with the last 4 or 5 years. Pretty similar to TCU. I think they had one really big score, but for the most part, their average was in the same neighborhood. And Kentucky just took a huge step up. Kentucky basically had two phenomenal athletes this year that both made the U.S. Olympic team in air rifle. So one a freshman that came in and another a sophomore, and those two really made a huge huge impact for their team and their team scores. There's so many variables at NCAAs. I think this was one of the first championships in a handful of years that we felt we weren't going there as favorites. You know, it wasn't a matter of, you know, kidding ourselves or anything, like we genuinely weren't the favorites. But we also had a lot of experience. I felt actually we had some ups and downs throughout the year. But we went there, I felt that the team were actually in a really good frame of mind. We had three seniors going, and often seniors deal with that challenge of this is their last match. You know, what am I going to do after this? There's a lot of mental challenges that seniors have to do, you know, cope with. So having three was different. Two of them, Militsa and Morgan, are, you know, not only won a team championship their freshman year, but had won individual championships. So lots of distractions for them. But I actually felt in the month leading up to NCAAs, you know, they were really, you know, kind of in a good frame of mind, practicing as well as they had done. And I really felt really good with the five going down there that they would be capable of performing well. Added to that, like, we know that if you're the host, it's tough, it's challenging. There's a lot of extra pressure for those two that I mentioned. They just made the Olympic team. They were the hosts. You know, I think there would have been a significant amount of pressure and distractions for them, and a lot of it would have been how they managed to deal with that. If they were able to cope with that great and shoot up to their potential, and Kentucky as a team, then, you know, they were capable of shooting a score that we weren't this year. And also TCU are the defending champions, and we all know in any sport when you're defending champions, that adds a, you know, a layer of extra pressure and distraction and things like that. So, you know, this was the first kind of year in a while that we didn't have either of those things going for us. And I felt the team were in a great frame of mind. And so I really just as a fan, I would have loved to have seen it unfold and take place. And I certainly wouldn't have been maybe putting any money one way or another. But, you know, I was excited for our guys to go and compete. And I think they definitely had a great chance. Maybe weren't favorites, but we've been there before. We haven't won as favorites. It's an awful lot of pressure at NCAAs, and you know, it would have been a really exciting, you know, championship to watch and see unfold. And, you know, unfortunately, we'll just lots of ifs and buts, and for, you know, us to discuss probably for many years as well.
Next question from Greg Hunter. Just a reminder to use the raise hand feature if you have a question for Coach. Go ahead, Greg.
So, John, you've mentioned the Olympics and qualifying a couple of times. What former Mountaineers or current Mountaineers are contending not only for the U.S. team, we think of Jenny Thrasher there, but also some of the international teams that your athletes have competed on in the past?
Sure. So I'll start international, U.S. None of them have qualified at this time. You know, unfortunately, Jenny was close in the air gun trials, but just missed out. I think she really just had, over the 4 days of competition, just had a rough one the first day and just was never able to catch back up. But she's actually leading the small bore trial. So the US got their full allotment, so two places in each event. I think Ginny was, I can't remember, fourth or so in something like that in the air rifle trials. In small bore, she's leading the trials, so she's in a great position. You know, I think she's, you know, shooting some really good small bore right now. She seems, from, you know, when I've touched base with her training's going great. She's in a good frame of mind. So yeah, again, it waits now. I think the trials were going to be, if I remember rightly, the beginning of April, so they would have happened by now. Now you deal with the challenges of preparing again. Obviously, they don't know when their trials are going to be, so you have to kind of just be in a holding pattern and wait and kind of, you know, revise your whole training plan and things like that. Anyway, she's, like I said, leading the trial. Patrick Sunderman in the men's small bore. Patrick's actually second in the U.S. trials right now. He's a soldier down at the Army Marksmanship Unit at Fort Benning. He's been there for a couple years since graduating and doing great. And the first trial at the end of last year in the fall performed really well. So Patrick's in great position. Same thing, just got to knock it out the second trial and kind of not get distracted from now until when that is. Probably harder for those that are sitting in the top two, and it's kind of more real that some ways it's theirs to defend. But I think, you know, both those two are shooting well enough and professional enough that they'll take care of that stuff. Internationally, we don't have any qualified right now, but both Živa Voršak from Slovenia is training really well. I think she was actually sitting really well for the world ranking quota place. She's doing well right now. And then Petra Zublazing from Italy. Petra's still shooting and still trying to get that quota place too. So both of those two, you know, still have a chance to qualify. Patrick and Ginny are in a great spot as well. And we'll have to wait and find out, you know, when the qualification, you know, period ends and gets going again. And hopefully a number of those four can represent us next year.
All right. Your next question comes from John. Go ahead, John.
Last one for me. In regards to competition, you guys, I guess, have a little bit of a benefit or an advantage in that there is a little bit of social distancing involved in the way the event's set up. You don't have massive crowds that come to your events. Do you think that there could be some loosening or some restrictions to maybe allow or consider some of these events because you can put shooters so far away from each other and do things in that regard?
I mean, I hope so. I mean, obviously there's a long way to go before we get to next year. We're a winter sport, but we're fall and spring. We schedule wise, we kind of mirror basketball. I think definitely from just as us coaches talking, we know that, you know, if basketball is good to go, we're going to be good to go. But I do think, like you said, we have a lot of flexibility. You know, in terms of, like you said, there's not massive crowds. There can be a bit of social distancing and how we set up the competitions. You know, even with practice, I mean, it's not like we're a team sport like volleyball where practice is from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the afternoon and they have to work around classes. Often there's someone coming into practice at, you know, 9 a.m. and there's someone still training at, you know, 5:30 in the evening. So we try and have a team practice. We kind of have a kind of time area where we want most of them to be there together. But any given day, you know, someone's got a engineering senior class or a chemistry lab, or we've got a lot of them in ex-phys right now. They have that flexibility with their schedule that if there's one day a week, they've got to come in a little bit earlier or come in a little bit later. We're able to do that for their practice schedule. So, you know, that probably helps too, but yeah, I think it's just, it's too far ahead right now. I mean, this was all maybe good timing in the sense that it was after our season. It could have happened 2 days later. That would have been great. But for, you know, this is really the off season that a lot of them are having a break. You know, they're not training as they are right now. And we don't really get going again. They start practicing in September and competitions start in October. So we'll definitely be talking of, you know, contingency plans. I think it'd be smart for us as a, you know, a sport and our coaches association to be talking about what changes, you know, can we make. You know, what's the possibility of a spring only season look like? Do we have to change any scheduling stuff? I mean, I think there are lots of things that we can be prudent and think ahead about. But I think if, you know, if things are up and running, I mean, obviously if basketball is good, we're certainly not going to have a problem. But hopefully, you know, even if we can be a bit more flexible if we need to be. So hopefully that pays, you know, as an advantage for us, and we'll just have to wait and see. You know, first and foremost, I think all of us in the, you know, university industry, college sports industry, you know, just want to see kids back on campus in the fall and sports resuming, and then, you know, we'll wait and see how things shake out from there, and if that doesn't happen, making plans from there.
All right, go ahead, Kevin Kender.
John, given the emphasis on mental training, discipline, toughness in your sport, are your athletes, you think, maybe a little bit better prepared?
For the situation we're in right now? I'll answer it from that. I think so. You know, like I said, timing was quite nice that this is a kind of off period. Everyone was typically ready for a break. We had one or two that would have been training immediately afterwards for the Junior Olympic Championships. And a couple of our international, you know, guys would have wanted to keep training as well. But for the most part, you know, April's a good time to have a break and just focus on school and finish out the school year. I think just in terms of the situation, sure. I mean, I think, you know, we talk so much about in our sport, controlling the controllables, you know, kind of having a positive attitude and everything. And, you know, I think I'd like to think all of our team members have been managing the situation pretty well. They're busy with school. I mean, sure, there's an adjustment to doing all the classes online and following that. And sure, everyone has to deal with that adjustment of just kind of being stuck at home, you know, in close quarters with their family, and just dealing with that. But I think our guys have been dealing with it pretty well and knocking out their classes. And, you know, we've kind of encouraged them, we've been able to be in touch with them to just, you know, give them suggestions for, you know, how to keep in shape, what kind of workouts to do, you know, whether it's just good reading material, and just trying to, you know, keep them motivated to not just sit back and watch Netflix all day long, to kind of just be productive and kind of, I don't want to say stay ahead, but come out at the other end of it, you know, feeling like you're ready to go and that people haven't jumped ahead of you from doing lots of positive stuff. So, you know, obviously it's a adjustment for everyone, but, you know, I definitely would like to think they have the mental skills and the mental toughness and the discipline to, you know, make sure that they take care of their classes and do the things that they need to do and stay positive and all that kind of stuff.
All right. Looks like Greg Hunter might be the last question. If you have another question, go ahead and raise your hand here. If not, Greg will be the last question. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, John, the last one for me, and thanks for taking your time to do this. In terms of recruiting, you mentioned a couple of events have been canceled that normally would serve as recruiting opportunities for you guys. Not necessarily the class of 2020, but 21, 22. How has this affected how you can evaluate kids and things like that?
Oh, big impact. I mean, obviously, like you said, 20 is done. We've got a fantastic recruiting class coming in. We've got, what, 4 new team members that we're really excited about and, you know, really hopeful that we'll get them here in the fall. But yeah, 21 and 22, big impact for them. I think, you know, I almost feel for the athletes more than us as coaches. I mean, we're going to recruit kids at the end of the day, but you know, this was, you know, their juniors going into their senior year. This is their showcase time. Junior Olympics right now, all summer, US Nationals is over the summer, other events, things like that, taking visits. A lot of them would be doing unofficial visits this time or into the summer. So, you kind of just have to rely on the stuff, you know, the research and the work that you've been doing. I mean, we've definitely got a long list of potential recruits for 21, as well as 22. I think class of 22 are going to have enough time to make that up. And we're not a sport that are making offers or doing commitments or things like that really before fall semester of their senior year. So the kids that are 22, I guess they would be sophomores right now, they're going to have all of junior year to catch up. I think we're in a not a bad situation of having such a big recruiting class this year with 4 coming in. We're only going to have 1 senior on the team next year, which will be Sarah. So that obviously means limited, you know, incoming recruits with that. We've kind of got our list already. Would we like to be evaluating them a little bit more and seeing how they're competing? Sure. But, you know, we'll hopefully be in good position to, you know, we'll wait and see how the whole process, you know, works out. Hopefully we're able to do official visits in the fall semester and, you know, we'll bring some in for official visits and then we'll kind of be, you know, making decisions probably from there. There might be a few more competitions and a few times to evaluate before then, but typically I think we're the same as many sports, the signing period starts in the middle of November. We used to have just 1 early week in November and then it waited till April. But I think once it starts in November, it's just ongoing. So it will be interesting this year if there's less signed that first week in November and we wait a little bit longer, that, you know, for maybe more matches over December, January, both for coaches to evaluate the students a little bit more, but also for the students to go, hey, you haven't seen me compete for 6 or 9 months. I want to, you know, shoot some more events before committing to a school and going from there. So definitely a big impact. You know, nothing we can do about it right now. Just kind of keep planning and keep communicating with what we can do. And but like I said, I think I definitely feel for those students. And again, it'll be up to them of how much they do at home, how much kind of training can they do at home, how much mental preparation can they do, so that when they do get those first opportunities to get out and compete and train, that they hit the ground running. And but you know, it's a stressful time, I think, for kids going into their senior year of high school and taking ACT tests and thinking about college stuff, and added onto that extra kind of maybe time pressure. And as coaches, we'll just do the best we can to evaluate and make the best decisions that we can as well.
That was West Virginia Rifle Coach John Hammond. Thanks for listening.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.